Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom op deze laatste zondag in de maand maart bij de meest bekeken kerkdienst ter wereld, Hour of Power. En wat Hour of Power voor je kan betekenen als je in de gevangenis zit, dat horen we zo meteen van Johan de Late, die 8 maanden achter de tralies zat en een ontroerend verhaal heeft. Dominee Schulen spreekt over een intrigerend thema. Eerst geloven en dan zien. Want wij zeggen altijd, eerst zien en dan geloven. Maar je moet het omdraaien. En dat vertelt hij in deze uitzending. En verder veel muziek. Natuurlijk van het koor van de Crystal Cathedral. En Matthew West, een onderscheiden gospelzanger die een fantastische bijdrage levert. Kortom, het wordt een geweldige uitzending. Fijn dat iedereen kijkt. En wij schakelen over naar de Crystal Cathedral.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power with Robert Schuller.
I want to encourage you right now to reach out and shake the hands of those who are standing next to you, behind you, and say, God loves you and so do I. So we're going to continue to worship the Lord with a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're real, that you're here, that you're touching hearts and minds with your power and with your presence. And so as we stand in awe of you this morning, we know that there is nothing that is too big for you. So tear down the walls, O Lord, that prevent us from receiving the beauty and the glory of your power and your love for us this very moment. We love you, Lord. Amen.
may be seated. Now hear these words. Hear these words from the Holy Scriptures, from Psalm 89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Oh, Lord God, who is mighty like you? You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world in all its fullness, you have founded them. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand, and high is your right arm. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are we who know the joyful sound. We walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name we rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness we are exalted. This is the word of the Lord. Well, my guest this morning is a fabulous singer. I had the joy and honor of sitting right next to him so I could hear him sing those hymns. He comes from a wonderful Christian family. His father is a devoted pastor, and he's been here before. Back in 2003, he burst into the Christian music scene out of nowhere with his single, More, the most frequently played song on Christian radio. His name is Matthew West, and he's here to share how God has miraculously intervened in his life. And it's been going on for the good and the glory of God. Welcome with me, Matthew West. Hi, Matthew.
Hi.
Your musical ministry has impacted the lives of many, many people who have been instrumental. But who intervened in your life and brought forth the talent that God gave you?
Well, you mentioned my parents. My father's been a minister at the same church for over 33 years.
Pretty good.
And, yes, very good. I have tremendous respect for my mom and dad, and I'm so thankful for the upbringing that I had. Ironically, though, being in church every Sunday, every day of the week, really, you know, as the preacher's kid, you get a lot of the extra duties. So I was mowing the lawn and you name it. And ironically, it was as a 13-year-old boy watching television that I stumbled upon a Billy Graham crusade. And that was where I made my commitment to Christ. My mom saw me and she knew that God was at work in my heart. She sat down and prayed with me. And so I'm so thankful for my parents and the influence that they've had on my life. You know, they brought me here to this church as a child. I said, you've got to see the Crystal Cathedral.
Many years ago.
So it's such a thrill to be standing here with you today.
Thank you. And your dad has been 32 years in the church?
Yeah, almost 33.
I've been here 52, so he's got 20 to go.
You've got him beat. I'll make sure he knows.
You've had a couple of miracles. That's the way I put it. Correct me if I'm exaggerating. But tell us about two at least.
Yes, my music career, nothing has come without struggle, and it seems as if the moment I begin planning my plans and dreaming my dreams and set out on a course that I think God has planned for me, and maybe many of you can relate, that's about the time everything changes. And so I've been on the just right on the edge of seeing some dreams come true in my life. In 2002, I was 2 weeks away from signing my name onto a record deal. Now that was a dream for me. And 2 weeks away from that happening, I had a crazy injury trying to open a window at my home. My left arm slipped and it fell through the glass. The glass severed an artery in my left arm. Well, I play the guitar, folks, and that was bad news. I landed in the hospital for 5 days, and the doctors did surgery after surgery just to restore a pulse in my left hand. And when they sent me home from the hospital, they let me know that I would always have a scar that runs down the length of my arm. More importantly, my left hand would always be weak and numb, and I may never play the guitar again. But how many of you know God is good, and he healed my hand, and I'm once again able to pick up a guitar? Fast forward to 2007, I was back on track making music. I was getting ready to make a new album called Something to Say. I felt like God had put this message on my heart. And that's about the time I went to the doctor's office in April of this past year, and the doctor looked at my vocal cords and told me I had nothing to say. And I found out I needed to have surgery on my vocal cords. So here I was, facing just a recently recovered hand, and now my voice was being challenged. And so on May 17th, instead of walking into the doors of a recording studio to make an album called Something to Say, I was being wheeled in for surgery on my voice, and the doctors told me I would have nothing to say. So it was quite an intense trial in my life. I had to spend about 2 months in complete silence. I was unable to speak to my wife, unable to sing to my little 2-year-old girl. I remember she'd look at me like, "What's wrong, Daddy? Why aren't you talking to me? Why aren't you singing?" But through that experience, God proved himself faithful. And I'm here today speaking to you as a testament that God has healed my voice and I'm once again able to sing a new song for his glory.
Wow. What have you learned through all of this?
Wow. Well, you know, I was standing in church one Sunday after my surgery. I was, like I mentioned, I had to be completely silent. I used a dry erase board to communicate with my wife and my daughter. And I have messy handwriting, so that was a challenge. But one Sunday, I was in church, and I was standing there singing just like we've all been doing this morning. And the church was singing everybody except for me. And I was frustrated, and I was discouraged. I was uncertain of my future. I was thinking, Lord, what if I can't do this thing that I feel like you've called me to do? What's going on here? I sat down, and the sermon was called, Why Does God Allow Bad Things to Happen to Good People? I'm sure a question many of us have all asked. The pastor read a quote by C.S. Lewis that said this, God whispers to us in our pleasures, he speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world.
Just repeat those words.
It said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, he speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world.
Fantastic.
It really spoke to my heart because I started to think, could it be that God wants to use not only our gifts and our abilities, but even our brokenness, even our tragedies, even the trials and the weakest moments of our lives? What if we lifted those up to God and allowed to him to give us something to say through our weakest moments? Lives could be changed for an eternity. So that's what I hope to do as I'm now able to sing again. I hope that the world can, when they hear me sing, it'll be so much more about me showcasing anything good in me, but more about giving all the glory to God, because he's the reason that I have anything to say at all. Amen.
You know, I've been a pastor now since I started this church, 52 years, and I've always heard the question, why would God allow bad things to happen to good people? Well, there are a lot of reasons. One reason is, really good people take all their bad things and turn them into good things for God's glory. And he needs all the glory he can get. And he said, I can use you. If this happens to you and you come back, people are going to listen to you. It'll impact your ministry. And now you impact all of us. What song are you going to sing for us now?
Well, I'm going to sing a song from the new album. It's called You Are Everything. And this, just a little backstory, is the first song that I went back into the recording studio to sing. So I was nervous, I was scared, but I found a scripture that my dad had me memorize from a child, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And this song is about the reality of even if you lost everything that you love in this life, as long as you hold on to your Savior, as long as you hold on to Jesus, you have everything you need. You are everything.
Never lose the most important thing you have.
Thank you.
Your faith. Sing for us.
Time you look at me, I'm spinning like an autumn leaf, bound to hit the bottom sometime. Where would I be without someone to save me, someone who won't let me fall? Just a beautiful mess. Oh, and where would I be without? without someone to save me, someone who won't let me fall. You are everything that I live for, everything that I can't believe is happening. You're standing right in front of me, arms wide open. Everything honest and true, and all of those stars hanging up in the sky can never shine brighter than you.
Matthew, thank you. Thank you for your music, for your heart, for your spirit. If you don't want to do this, I understand. But I'm curious, would you roll up your sleeve? I'd love to see your scar.
You want to see? I'm proud to show you my scar.
I thought you might be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does anyone else want to see a scar? Is it just me? Who wants to see a scar? Everyone wants to see the scar.
This is the scar that runs down.
Whoa, dude.
Yeah.
Is that a, can you see that?
Can you see that?
I don't know if you can see it, but that's a major scar. That definitely wins.
I tell you what, every time I look at
that's
it,
that's what I don't want.
That's it. And I'm reminded, though, that God healed me.
God healed.
Scars are not a bad thing.
Amen to that. Well, you turned it into a star, that's for sure.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate you. You're fabulous.
Thank you.
And thank you very,
thank
very
you
much.
Thank you all.
For your music, for your faith.
Appreciate it.
Een paar jaar geleden werd hij opgepakt, zomaar op straat, door de Fiat. En hij verdween voor 8 maanden in de gevangenis, in de beruchte koepel in Haarlem. Dat is een van de aardigste mensen die ik ken en ik ben echt niet naïef. Johan de Later, goedemorgen. Welkom bij Hour of Power. Fijn dat je hier zit en niet meer achter de tralies. Daar heb je 8 maanden gezeten. Maar laten we even naar het moment gaan dat je werd opgepakt. Wat gebeurde er?
Ja, ongeloof. Dit kan niet. Ze hebben het fout. Dit is niet eerlijk.
Want er kwamen Fiat-agenten naar je toen en zeiden: meneer de Later, komt u maar even mee?
Ja. Gaat u maar mee? Dan denk je, nou, voor een verhoor. En dat zou over een economisch delict gaan. En dan, ja, word je meegenomen en dan zit je daar. Nou, ik denk, ben zo weer buiten. Want ja, en dan duurt het nog, moet je een nachtje blijven. Dan denk je, nou, vervelend. En dan wordt het nog een nachtje. En nog een nachtje. En nog een nachtje. 10 dagen. 30 dagen enzovoort.
Slaat de wanhoop dan toe?
Ja. Je denkt, dit kan niet, dit is oneerlijk. Het rechtssysteem in Nederland, dat bestaat niet. Maar ik ben er nu van overtuigd dat er ook onschuldige mensen vastzitten.
Dan zit je zo ineens van een succesvol zakenman die zijn gang kon gaan in de gevangenis. Je familie zit thuis, in feite ook gevangen, toch?
Ja, dat is een drama. En dat realiseren mensen zich ook niet. En dat heb ik me ook nooit gerealiseerd. Want buiten dat jij gevangen zit, zit je familie thuis ook. En je kinderen en allemaal leven met je mee. En je leeft allemaal, nou ja, volgende week zal het wel over zijn. Ja, dat was dus niet zo.
Raak je vrienden kwijt?
Je leert wel je vrienden kennen, ja. Er zijn er weinig. Maar echte vrienden, die blijven natuurlijk in je geloven. En ik heb daar wel heel veel steun aan gehad. En maar ja, ook voornamelijk in Hour of Power heb ik veel kracht gehad. Ik heb een mooi boekje van jullie gekregen. Ik had een brief geschreven in Hour of Power. En toen kreeg ik een mooi boekje. Positief gebeden voor een leven vol kracht. Nou, dat is een bijzonder mooi boekje. En dat heeft me ook heel erg doorheen gesleept. Die teksten die daarin staan is
zoals? Ik zie dat je de blaadjes...
Ja, u hebt me nooit beloofd, Heer, dat er geen donkere wolken in mijn leven zouden komen. Maar u hebt me wel beloofd dat de zon doorheen zou breken. Ja, en dat is uiteindelijk wel gebeurd. Ja, want het afgelopen jaar heeft de rechtbank alles in de prullenbak gegooid. Ja, en heb je daar gezeten.
Je bent vrijgesproken.
Ja. Dank u wel dat u mij door moeilijke tijden heen loodst. Ja, dat is gebeurd. En ik zat daar op een gegeven moment ook met een bewaarder te praten op de gang. En mijn celdeur was dicht. En een andere bewaarder die dacht, zijn deur moet dicht. Want er kwam een hele grote rond de deuropening, heel veel licht naar buiten. Maar mijn deur was op slot. En hij dacht, die was open. Dus ik dacht, en ik keek er ook zo naar. En ik had echt, zie je, dit is een engel. Ik ben niet alleen.
Het lijkt me, als je in de gevangenis zit, dat een ontzaglijk leerproces is voor je hele leven. Wat heb jij geleerd?
Nog meer naar anderen luisteren. Minder druk maken over onbelangrijke zaken. Dankbaar zijn. Vooral dankbaar zijn voor de dingen die er zijn in het leven. Er zijn zoveel mooie dingen in het leven. En mensen zijn zo hard geworden en zo koud. En wees wat vriendelijker en aardiger voor elkaar. En heb het goede met elkaar voor. En help elkaar. Ja, dat is wat je wel daar, wat ik daar geleerd heb.
Als ik jouw brief herinner, dan schreef je dat Hour of Power was jouw baken van hoop in de gevangenis. Ja. Hoe?
Ja, je had twee momenten. Dat was woensdag het bezoekuurtje. En dan zondag Hour of Power. Daar keek je, dan was het al donderdag en denk je ook nog een paar dagen. En dan was het zaterdagmorgen en dan was het Hour of Power. En dan kreeg je zoveel kracht om weer die week door te kunnen. Een heleboel mensen gingen naar recreatie, maar ik bleef dan achter bij Hour of Power. En ze denken, waar kijkt hij dan naar? En op een gegeven moment bleef je ook steeds meer gedetineerd in Hour of Power kijken. Ja, ja, en je voelt je sterk, je voelt je blij, je voelt je tranen van blijdschap, emoties. En God, ik ben niet alleen, dank u. En
wat doet dit programma dan met je?
Ja, geef je kracht voor de hele week.
Ja?
Het is een soort vitamineshot, zeg maar. Ja, feest in de gevangenis, om het maar zo te zeggen.
Ja, maar het kon niet altijd feest zijn. Maar heb je daar een moment gehad dat je zegt, dat was mijn moeilijkste moment?
Ja, ik ben natuurlijk daar best door een hel gegaan. Want je zit thuis. Mijn zoontje was geopereerd. En die operatie was mislukt. Dus hij kwam in een rolstoel te zitten. Ja, en dan ga je thuis gaan ze door een hel. En zelfs, je kan daar
wat
niks.
Wat is dat van? Wat is er?
Nou, mijn zoontje moest geopereerd worden. En toen hebben ze in het WKZ in Utrecht hebben ze zijn zenuw geraakt. Dus en dat is misgegaan. En artsen eerst nog ontkennen. En een heel vervelende situatie. Maar jij zit daar en je kan niks doen. En ja, die zit nu in een rolstoel. Maar goed, ook in een rolstoel kan je goed leven. En ja, ik had natuurlijk een zoontje. Maar was er net nog niet zo oud. En mijn partner zat dan thuis. Ja, en alles werd een ellende en ellende. En tot die 8 maanden ook op een gegeven moment, dat ging gewoon thuis niet meer. De hele situatie, dat liep uit de hand. En ik ging op mijn knieën zitten voor mijn bed. En ik zeg, God, ik hou van u. U hebt me geholpen. U hebt me doorheen gesleept. Tot hier, alsjeblieft, niet meer verder. Ik kan het niet meer. Thuis gaat alles kapot. En de volgende dag was ik vrij. Volgende dag kwam er een telefoontje, ik kon naar huis. Ja, dat was heel indrukwekkend.
Ja, zomaar ineens.
Ja, ja.
Daar zie je de hand van God in?
Ja, absoluut. Ja.
Waarvoor ben je zo ontroerd, jongen?
Ja, dan voel je dat weer, die pijn van dat moment dat je daar dan zit. Op je knieën. En dat je echt zegt, hier, God, dit moet ophouden. Dit is niet goed, dit is niet eerlijk. Ja, en volgende dag kwam een telefoontje, ik kon naar huis. Dat was zo bijzonder. Ja. En dan voel je God bij je. Ja. Ja, ik heb het nooit alleen gevoeld. Ja.
Als je uit de gevangenis komt, heb je de keuze om linksaf te gaan of om rechtsaf te gaan. Ja. Hoe ben jij gegaan? Hoe ga je nu?
Ja, ik ben rechtsaf gegaan. En de weg vervolgen op een juiste manier. Goed te zijn voor andere mensen om je heen. Mensen te helpen. En te steunen en niet zo gauw te oordelen of te veroordelen. Wat veel mensen doen in het leven. Ja, dat is ook de mensen die daar dus zitten en die dus echt wat gedaan hebben en die moeten tuchten. Ja, straks heb je een kans om overnieuw te gaan leven, op een nieuw leven te beginnen.
Johan, ik vond het bijzonder fijn dat je hier vanmorgen was. Je hebt nog kleine kinderen, daar hou je zielsveel van. Ik vind het erg leuk om je deze, ik kan op een stapeltje erbij, deze Bijbel mee te geven. God gaat altijd met je mee. Het is een kinderbijbel van Hour of Power. Al die mooie verhalen van vroeger uit de Bijbel. Mag ik dit aan je geven?
Ja, geweldig. Dankjewel. Ja. Dankjewel, Jan.
En wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral waar Jeanette Bayerdel zingt Try Again. Als je faalt, kun je bij God altijd opnieuw beginnen. En dit lied dragen we speciaal op aan al die mensen die in de gevangenis zitten en kijken naar Hour of Power. Try Again.
Life is fragile. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is here to be able to revive a fragile life. And the message I have for you today is a message that is designed to help revive your soul and your spirit and your person and your faith. It's what it's about. It's revival. How many people here could survive a catastrophe in your business where you suddenly lost 95% of your income? What would that do to your business? You think you could survive a 95% loss in income? There are people today who are struggling with that. I have a very good friend of mine who is. But the beautiful message is this, that the message in the God we serve is a God of revival. Revival basically means to bring to life. It means to bring to health. It means to restore. And so I've written an acrostic for revival that'll help us with our passage today. The acrostic is very simple. Recognize Jesus. Encounter mercy. Validate your faith. Identify his touch. Voice your belief. And exhort the truth. Revive. Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew 9, and I'm beginning with the reading of the 27th verse. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, saying, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When Jesus had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and Jesus asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith will it be done to you." And their sight was restored, and Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out, and they spread the news about him all over the region. Two blind men recognized Jesus. They said, "Son of David." Now you have to realize that Son of David is synonymous with saying the Messiah. They recognized immediately that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah. That title is reserved for that, and everybody in the time of Christ would know that Son of David is synonymous with Messiah. They were the very first people to call out, "Son of David." Their eyes were opened before their sight was revived. They saw Jesus and knew who he was before anyone else did, before those who had sight could see. They saw. There's a story of an atheist who's taking a walk through the woods one day. It was a beautiful day, and he was admiring the tall, beautiful pine trees, and he was admiring the river that flowed through and enjoying the smells of this day. And as he walked along, he heard some rustling behind him. He turned around, and charging him, he sees this grizzly bear. And he took off running as fast as he can, which, of course, is to no avail. You can't outrun a grizzly bear. But he tries to outrun him anyway, and sure enough, the grizzly catches up to him. And just as he's about to swipe him with his claws, he cries out to God, "Oh, God!" And with that time, froze. And a light shone, and he heard a voice. And the voice said, "You expect me to save you? You've never believed a day in your life. You've taught others that it was some other thing that created this world. And you expect me to believe to save you at this time?" And the atheist thought to himself, that would be quite hypocritical. And he said, "Yes, it would be very hypocritical for me to expect you to save me at this time, but maybe you could just make the bear a Christian." And the voice said, "As you will." And with that, the bear did not swipe him immediately. Instead, he fell to his knees and he folded his paws. And he said, "Dear Lord, for the food I'm about to receive, I give you thanks." The blind man could recognize who Jesus was. And the question I have for you is, can you recognize who Jesus is? The Son of God, the Messiah, the one who comes to save the world, the one who comes to bring hope and promise fulfillment. And the cry of these blind men was, "Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us." You know, and we go about and we are quick to point the finger at other people. We seek areas and means and ways to criticize, and we can point the finger very quickly. But what happens when we point a finger at people? You all know there's three fingers pointing right back at ourselves. And the facts are that every time we see sin and disgust and things that anger and frustrate us about other people, there's three times as much of that within our own souls and our hearts. So it becomes imperative for us at all times to erase our arrogance and to call upon the name of Christ to have mercy upon us and to open our eyes that we might see where we need His grace and where we need to grow spiritually today. Jesus said, "According to your faith will it be done to you." Do you realize they didn't go and said, "Jesus, restore our sight"? They said, "Jesus, have mercy on us." Because they recognized who He was, that there was something far more important than having vision. And that's having God's grace and God's love. A good friend of mine, as I mentioned earlier, his businesses a year ago dropped dramatically by well over 95%. 6 months ago, he said, "I hardly have enough income to pay the utilities, but I believe in my business." Just so happens he's probably in the toughest business there is in America today. It's not real estate, but it's close. I think real estate would probably be second to the mortgage business. He said, I wrote only $5 million worth of contracts. He says, "That's not even enough to pay the light bill, my percentage from that." And we've been praying for him every month as he's been struggling with this. He says, "I believe in my business. I believe enough where I am ready to sacrifice everything I have. I'm going to sell everything I have if necessary to keep this business afloat." His company has just continued to dwindle. He says, "We've been attacked from every side. We've been sued by the people we've loaned the money to. We've been sued by the people who we get the money from to loan." And he says, "It's just an unbelievable nightmare." If you've read anything about the mortgage business, you know what I'm talking about. He said, "Every single person I know who is in the same kind of business I am is now out of business." Since September, what he's done is every time one of them went out of business, a couple of their employees would come to him, and what he'd do is he'd hire their best salesman. He said, all of a sudden in October, my business went from $5 million to $10 million. And this is not income, of course. This is the total amount of loans they're writing. And then this past week, he said, God answered our prayers. His main business is writing, what are they called? Sally Mae, Freddie Mac's, and Fannie Mae's. And then I think they're coming out with a new one, Billy Bob's. And he says, you know, that's where he writes most of his loans. And what happened with the new stimulus plan this past week? The stimulus plan is going to take loans from $450,000 maximum in the Freddie Mac's up to almost 750,000. So suddenly everybody who has a loan between 450 and 750 are going to go out and refinance their loans. And guess what? He's the last one in business. And why? Because he had the faith. He validated his faith by taking everything he had and just dumping it into his business and hanging on with dear life. That's all he could do. Some of you may be there today where you just don't know if you can hang on for another month. You just don't know what's going to happen. And the facts of the matter is that God always provides a way of escape. He sometimes comes in and he diverts and manages to change our course of action, but something happens and he revives. Because that's what the message of Jesus Christ is all about, revival. Bringing to life, healing, restoration. And so these blind men came to Jesus. Recognizing who he is, they called out to him, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And they validated their faith. And Jesus reached out and he touched their eyes. He touched their eyes. Interesting thing about touch, especially for the blind, is how important it is. You know, as a person with sight, I recognize people through simply looking at them. I look at their face, and that's how I recognize people. I would assume most everyone here with good eyesight does that, or even halfway decent eyesight. You recognize people with your sight. But people who are blind recognize people through their voice, or through an introduction, or in some cases, a touch. And Jesus touched them. He made it perfectly clear who he was. It was clearly identifiable. They voiced their belief. "Do you believe I am able to do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord, we believe." And their eyes were opened. What does it take to open our eyes to the reality of the goodness of God who wants to touch us and revive us and bring us the hope we need? Pastor in the Almighty God Tabernacle, a new church that was in a strip mall, called us home. And his wife didn't answer. Couldn't figure out why she didn't answer, but he let the phone ring and ring and ring. It was no big deal. He called back a few minutes later, and she answered, and he had a conversation with her. And the next day, he got a call from a gentleman who said, "You called me yesterday." He goes, "I did?" He goes, "Yes, you called me yesterday. My phone rang and rang, and I didn't answer. But you called me." He said, "You have to realize that I was ready to commit suicide." And I said, "God, if you don't want me to pull this trigger, you have to do something right now." And that's when the phone rang, and I looked at my caller ID, and it said, "Almighty God." The name of his church. He said, "I was too afraid to answer the phone." But I unloaded my gun and I put it away. I'm calling you now. Because I need to know, where do I go from here? What does it take for God to reach out, to touch your heart, and say, "You are mine"? Throughout the decades, we've seen some of the most beautiful people in the world taken away. We all have friends that we've lost. Today, God is calling you. Just have a little faith. According to your faith, will it be done to you? And he restored their sight. And then he finally told them to go and don't tell anyone that I revived your sight. Which is kind of silly, isn't it? Can you imagine being in a small community, you're blind with a tapping your way with a stick throughout the community, and suddenly you're walking around and can see? Gee, what happened to you? Oh, nothing. Just woke up this morning and, gee, I could see. It was no big deal. He gave them an impossible task, and they failed miserably. They exhorted the truth about what Jesus had done in them and for them. And they told everybody. And that's what happens. When Jesus touches our hearts and our souls and our minds and our bodies and our spirits, you have to tell everybody. When you're down to nothing, just remember this. God is up to something. And no matter where you find yourself today, the gospel of Jesus Christ is here to revive you, to give you the ability to see. To see a way of escape, to see a way of victory, to see a way to revive you. And today, that's what Christ is doing, and that's what Christ is all about. So recognize Jesus. Encounter his mercy, validate your faith, identify his touch, voice your belief, and exhort the truth. And witness. Witness the beauty of Christ's love in your heart today. Dear God, we thank you that as we believe it, we see it. That as life is fragile, you are not. That as our spiritual eyes are opened, our physical healing will be apparent. And so as we travel through this wilderness of life today, we look forward to the beauty and the glory of your grandeur and that day in which there is no sunset, no dawning, forever and always with you. Amen. Next week, we are going to have gospel singer Wintley Phipps. He's going to be here. He's been here many times before. You probably are familiar with him. And he's going to be singing some beautiful Negro spirituals. With that, let me give you a closing benediction. And now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, revive your spiritual eyes and give you the vision to see the direction that he is calling you today. So may we go forth in peace and express his love to all we meet. Amen.
Vond het een geweldig thema. Eerst geloven en dan zien. En het doet me denken aan de bollen die ik in najaar heb gepoot. Tulpen, hyacinten en narcissen. En ja, dan stop je ze in de grond en dan zie je niet wat er gebeurt. Je moet het maar geloven. Maar onder de aarde gebeurt van alles. Er bloeit nieuw leven op. En dat is ook wat God wil doen. Soms moeten er dingen gebeuren die verschrikkelijk zijn, maar God wil nieuw leven geven. En als dat gebeurt, dan heeft hij je met zijn liefde omarmd. En dat is een geweldige ervaring. We hebben het gehoord in dit programma. En ik wens iedereen die liefdevolle omarming toe. En dat betekent geloven. En dan zie je het ook. Heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken naar deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Ook terug te zien op onze website www.hourofpower.nl. Ik wens iedereen een prettige, gezellige en vooral een goede zondag toe. En graag tot volgende week. En ik hoop dat dit programma, deze kijkdienst, iedereen zal inspireren in de komende dagen, zoals we gehoord hebben. Nogmaals, bedankt. Tot volgende week.
That's a sign.